3 Nigeria Info.
Lagos, good morning to you once again. We have the papers here. Let's begin to take a look at the stories on the papers one side or the other. We're going to start with the Vanguard. Page 11 of the Vanguard newspaper has a story here. Papa is Sanwo-Olu helpless despite seizing control of traffic management.
I think he is. I don't think the gentleman has a solution to... We've been at this for about a year. No solution in sight. There's been a lot of foot stomping and whatever. But he doesn't seem to have a solution in sight. The story says that 9 months into inauguration of Traffic and Management Committee set up by the governor in collaboration with MPA, all efforts to restore sanity, law and order in Apapa and environs have failed as chaotic gridlock persists along and so on and so forth. Well, they talk about the terrible situation that has been taking place, and yesterday was no exception. The Vanguard says that although the state government blamed the poor state of the road for the gridlock, Vanguard can authoritatively report that the problem is caused by officials of LASMA, the police, and miscreants. Definitely there's something wrong with LASMA in recent times. You might need to rejig. And I suggested here that why doesn't he set up a very strong task force headed by the deputy governor for 2 weeks, with all the brigade commanders in assistance, you know, the naval commander and so on, and they should face this headlong. You can't surrender a state to people who you say you are going to mention, and almost a year down the line, you after foot stomping, you haven't mentioned their names. Nobody has been arrested. This is sabotage. This is sabotage. And there seems to be some people behind it. By now, I expect the governor, you know, with the cooperation of the DSS and whatever, to have got, because this is sheer economic and even political sabotage, because it's going to affect him. And by the way, I'm going to repeat for the umpteenth time, somebody sent me an advert yesterday, and I saw another one yesterday. The governor has collected another 2 or 3 awards. And I keep saying, these things will bring him to ridicule. His media handlers are adopting a wrong strategy. You're portraying this man as a megalomaniac, which he may not be. This rash of awards all over the place have absolutely no value, most of them. And what they do is that it becomes an irritation to the people. Nkoli Obi and I had a discussion here on Tuesday on these tactics. We spoke the whole of Tuesday. We spoke about how to manage this thing. But back to this one. The governor should please, and I repeat, please, he should come out with some action plan to tackle this gridlock that has held us to the jugular. We cannot surrender our states to saboteurs and area boys and whatever. And if there's a need to rejig LASMA, do not hesitate to do so. Because in recent times, I must say, and you will remember that I said here, that in recent times, it looks as if the will to work with LASMA personnel has been replaced by the will to make money. At various junctions and whatever, they spend half the time saluting VIPs, virtually begging for money, than doing the proper job. So there is a need for the governor to go and set up some whatever it is. And I would suggest the deputy governor, not because of who he is, well, partly because of that, but also because of the authority he will carry, and face this gridlock head on. Well, I hope that we won't, this time next week, we won't still be talking about this same old thing, because then it might have some political consequences for certain persons.
Page 5 of the Vanguard newspaper. Tax war worsens as 36 states sue FG over stamp duty.
I disagree with this headline. It doesn't worsen. In fact, it's getting better. It's getting better because we are now beginning to behave like civilized people. Nobody is foot stomping. Nobody is shouting from the rooftops. We're going through this manner expected of civilized people. Go to court and get the work done. And bingo, lo and behold. Now all the months and months and months of restructuring, people using it as some political whatever it is, has just been resolved by just doing the simple thing. going to the appropriate authority and getting judgment. And that's what is happening. Now, the states are suing the federal government to say that they want that stamp duties collected should go to the states rather than the federal. And so they're going to go to the Supreme Court ultimately. And this is what it says. It says, what we want from Supreme Court by states, upon determination of the legal questions, the states wants the Supreme Court to declare that they are the sole authorities entitled to administer and collect stamp duties on all transactions involving individuals within their respective states. They are also seeking a declaration that the defendant is not entitled to collect, administer, defendant being federal government, administer or keep the proceeds of any stamp duties on transactions and so on and so forth. And once the Supreme Court rules on it, there we go.
Yeah.
Then maybe another another case will come up.
Mm.
But I'm happy that this is being done. And it's also good that, remember that the states come from, the governors come from different parties. But now that what affects one affects the others, they seem to be united in this. And this is the way I think democracy should be practiced in reality. So rather than say it worsens, I mean, we should be careful how we cast our headlines. And it's not a tax war. You know, people just want the law to be clear on who does what and who gets what. So don't let's overhype it. Because if we do, like things of this nature, if you keep hyping both sides, then it's going to get personalized and we might end up with a crisis.
Hmm.
Let's just say that 36 states sue federal government over stamp duty, and I would take out that tax war worsens. I'd have taken that out. In the media, we need to be careful. We need to be careful and we need to be extra sensitive. We shouldn't just be thinking of how many copies we are going to sell of our paper or how popular we are going to be. We also should have, you know, the welfare of the nation in mind. The sensitivity, you know, the sensitivity, who heads what. Now, you know, you have a federal government that is very sensitive and think that the impression you get is that you have a federal government that believes they can lord things over anybody.
Mm.
So if we're going to be doing this thing, let's do it gently. Like a bull shop, like a bull in a China shop, let's get the work done, okay? So let's, so is it 2-0 now?
2-0 now, yes. 2-0 now. Chidume Uzozie on YouTube says, I was at a papa yesterday and the whole area was traffic free. This was between 8 and 11 a.m.
Well, this we are reading traffic free. Well, we can't confirm you what you're saying, but this is from a newspaper, and it says that traffic management, all efforts to restore sanity on the Oshodi Apapa Expressway. Now, it doesn't say Apapa specifically. You went to Apapa, but it says here Oshodi Apapa Expressway, and that's why we read from the Vanguard.
Let's move on now. Stay with the Vanguard. Page 7 of the paper. Cool. ECOWAS suspends Guinea. Sends mediation team to Conakry.
Well, yes, that is not unexpected. But I think ECOWAS leaders, you know, should realize that if, you know, in reality, they've gotten their first yellow. And this is very simple. The issues are very simple and very clear.
Right.
If you are not sensitive to the yearnings of your people as leaders, and you hit their backs against the wall, this is what you are going to get. I am not justifying the coup that has taken place in Guinea. You know, I'm not justifying that. I wouldn't come on radio to say that the coup is the best thing that ever happened. However, I would say to those who have the responsibility of running our countries and so on and so forth, that you also need to be sensitive to the yearnings of the people. Even if you have your own child, you keep beating the child every day, one day the child is going to fight back. And that is part of what is happening here. The man had 2 terms, and then he wanted as the president, and I wanted the 3rd term. 86. Okay, amongst all other things. So the ECOWAS themselves need to do some self-examination amongst themselves. And they need to lock themselves up, ECOWAS leaders and African leaders generally, and tell themselves some home truths. How have you been leading your people? You know, what is the welfare of your people? How have they been surviving? What are the things that you've done? What examples have you set? How have you responded to their complaints? Look at us in Nigeria now. day in, day out, the outflows are increasing, the inflows are decreasing. More people are losing jobs, and it's becoming expensive to even eat a full rounded meal. The prices of things have almost doubled. Foodstuffs.
It depends. It depends.
Yes.
Some are being more than doubled.
More than double. Yeah. So I mean, yeah. I was trying yeah. to be. You understand?
Yeah. I was trying to be blunt. More have doubled.
More blunt.
Has double served. More have tripled.
Okay. I knew what you were going to say, but I didn't want us to say the same thing.
Okay.
Do you believe that?
You are clairvoyant.
Do you actually believe that? Anyway. Anyway, all said and done, yeah. We always should always remember that nobody has a monopoly of foot stamping and insisting on doing whatever he or she believes is right. That would include the leaders and the led.
Full stop. Page 24 of the Vanguard. Here we go. Igbo leaders stumble weary for Buhari as president commends Zodima for quality projects.
Yes, the president was in Uwiri yesterday. I have a quarrel with his protocol people. I don't know. There's this idea that when the president is visiting a part of the country, it's not peculiar to Buhari. They must dress him up, you know, in the manner in which that is done. Yeah, that is noble. But what he wore yesterday was not befitting of him, and his protocol people should have tried him out. Take a look at the photographs. But that's just a minor thing. But the minor things matter.
Okay.
The little things matter, because when you take care of the little things, the bigger ones will take care of themselves. Mm. Back to what he traveled yesterday, and it says here that he commissioned the modern executive council chambers. Okay, he commissioned the Ihiagwa Nekede Obinze Road. Okay, underground, some kind of underground tunnel. Mm. He commissioned those two or three projects, and then described Uzodinma as a man who shares the same principles as him when it comes to development and Nigerian's unity. I'm hoping that we will not judge our leaders by what we term infrastructural development, which in itself is an admission that we've not been doing the right thing. The building of roads, tunnels, executive chambers, whatever, these are everyday things. And I'm not going to judge a leader by the number of roads or whatever, in spite of the fact that we really are underdeveloped. And that's, of course, the answer is obvious. Mm. Rather, it would be good for us to judge, and I'm not referring to the president now, I'm referring in general terms, for us to judge our leaders by the overall. Politicians are very smart. They'll keep pointing. It's like you want to go buy a car.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a serious dent in the boot. Okay. Serious dent in the boot. The car is not balanced, but they keep pointing and that engine is very, very clean. Sure, you can see. It's only when you start driving the car that you see that it wobbles and nothing can be done about it. That's the kind of experience we have here. But yes, I was happy though, having said that, that the president went to the East. And I hope that the Eastern leaders, there was a closed door meeting, I hope they were able to look him in the face and tell him some
truth. I hope so.
I hope it wouldn't be an issue of psychophancy. Mm-hmm. I hope they would tell him, and I hope that they would let him see their anger and their pain.
Right.
In a polite manner. I hope they did that, because if they didn't do that, then they would have failed their people. Mm. You know, because he made some reference to the fact that they were the most industrious and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But that is no excuse for the way it is perceived they have been treated at government level.
Mm.
I've chosen my words carefully. That's the way that is perceived. The perception is that the Southeast has been denied appropriate recognition in the federal, whatever, whether they're the most, the richest or whatever, that's another kettle of fish entirely.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope yesterday that they were able to look themselves in the face and tell themselves some home truths, and maybe peace will reign in this country, for God's sake.
Mm. Indeed. Charles on Facebook says, good morning, Uncle Jimmy. The people of the Southeast extraction didn't turn up. There was a sit at home. Power belongs to the people. That's what that person put here on Facebook. I need to take one from YouTube as well. This person says ECOWAS should be about the interests of the people and not the interest of the leaders. I guess this person was trying to say that when some presidents, some leaders are misbehaving, ECOWAS seems to be silent and quiet. And when things like this happen, they seem to be now...
Because most of them are complicit. Most of them are guilty of the same offense. I didn't say all. I said most of them are guilty of the same offense. I mean, so... That's the way it works. And they're also using it as a means to protect themselves. For those of us who are older, we saw the rash of coups that took place, and decimated the political leaders about 20, 30 years ago. Nobody wants a repeat of that exercise. But I think the way to really prevent this is just good governance.
Right.
Good governance, that's all. Nobody, people just want good governance. We've seen peace reign in this country. We've seen peace reign in this region. When we would go to Cotonou, come back, go to Ghana, everybody was happy. But look at what we have now. Well, that's a story for another day. And then there's this very entertaining story that I'm going to read to you.
One more. David says, Africa needs to develop their own leadership style. This Western democracy is a scam in Africa.
I agree with that. I wouldn't call it a scam. But we didn't put on our thinking caps. We just took everything lock, stock, and barrel. Look at the kind of democracy we are running in Nigeria. It's crazy. It's expensive.
It's expensive.
It's ineffective. It doesn't meet the yearnings of the people. It's almost as if we're living in some kind of dictatorship at all levels. I mean, so Africa needs to, and country by country, region by region, we need to look at what. I always take a lot of delight when I watch the British Parliament in action. As the debate is going on, the Prime Minister is there.
Yeah.
The ministers are there.
Yeah.
So it's an open book. You can see what's going on. But
let's go to the punch. Page 7 says spread to page 5 says Lagos DPO loses gun after alleged office sex detains lover.
This story is, you must find time to read it. It is in the Punch. I find it more of entertainment than anything, really. But it's a bit messy. Now, the Punch reports that a woman, Jennifer Madueke, is being detained by the Lagos State Police Command over a missing service pistol belonging to ADPO CSP Adegoke Akinlade. The Punch gathered that the 29-year-old, after spending 3 days in a detention facility at Denton, where she was allegedly tortured to confess to the crime, was transferred to Yaba, CID in Yaba. The correspondent learned that Madueke and Akelade once dated and separated. This is like a Dear Bumi story. And separated after the police officer was transferred. Anyway, they were dating and so on and so forth. On Friday, August 27, it is reported here, the DPO invited the lady to his office, and she was with him till Saturday morning, and he's been accused of having of some canine knowledge. He leads her to go around 5 a.m. and even saw her off to the bus stop. Hosini. That's what they say.
Hosini.
Hosini's bus stop. They did not see each other again until last Saturday, September 4, when he invited her and told her they should go out anyway. However, when she went to see him, he detained her and accused her of stealing his service pistol. Where was his service pistol that this woman could have had? And when he was going to the post stop, didn't he carry his service pistol with him? Yeah. Anyway. And it says here now that on that Monday he took her to her, but this is a messy story. Just find time to read the Punch. It's a long and messy story. But there's some rhetorical questions being asked there. One of the questions being asked is, okay, the woman is in detention, but one of the questions being asked is, how come the man is still the DPO, even though he's been queried by the CP? You need to find time to read the Punch. It's on the center spread.
Right. I'm going to flip to inside page of that spread. Page 6 has a story here that says, court appoints TB Joshua's wife, Skoan's trustee.
Yeah, I didn't know. This skipped me, and I'm sure Sharif is also taken by surprise. I didn't know that the estate of part of the estate of TB Joshua had become a court issue. A federal high court yesterday appointed the, you know, the wife of Temitope Joshua, Evelyn Joshua, as a trustee of the Synagogue Church of All Nations. That surprised me. Usually the GO and the madam are usually the first set of trustees. Mm. And so a line of succession, and then maybe the children, and a line of succession is whatever. But it says the appointment was said to be in line with the church's constitution, which prescribed a minimum of 3 trustees for the church. This was contained in a petition brought by concerned and committed members of the church, represented by Mr. Kola Karim, Mrs. Moju Oguntoyinbo, against the incorporated trustees of synagogue church, and so on and so forth. Okay, so, well, the law, the court, Federal High Court has appointed Mrs. Evelyn Joshua as a trustee of the Synagogue Church of All Nations.
Mm. The Punch, page 14, is here with this story here. Nigerians must vote for president who truly cares. Iwodalo.
Okay, this is Pastor Itua Iwodalo, and he has advice for us Nigerians, all of us. He says, and listen carefully, he says, vote for a person who is concerned about your welfare and your well-being. It doesn't apply to just the president, it applies to the governor, it applies to, well, local government chairman usually are appointees anyway, so let's skip that part until we can get it right. But it applies to president, to governor, any leader you're going to. And he says that, he noted that as Nigerians, we must come to a collective agreement not to tolerate any form of bad leadership. This is what Itua said, Pastor Itua. He said, we must reject anyone who has, now listen carefully, listen now, we must reject anyone who has a proven track record of incompetence, that's one, corruption. Now, usually, when we talk about corruption, we usually say, oh, he hasn't been found guilty. But all of us know what we know. We know those who are involved in corrupt practices around us.
Mm.
And if you want to elect them leaders, again, good luck to you. So he says that incompetence, corruption, greed.
Mm.
Greed. Wickedness and avarice to hold any position of influence in the country. And so he says that Nigerians must all register with political parties of their choice and ensure that they register and collect their PVCs. Though on election day, don't sit down at home and be tweeting and doing analysis. Go out there and cast your vote.
And before me, Jimmy Disu.
And before me, Jimmy Disu is paid to do this job. That's what he's doing. Will you go out there and get and vote? And then he now urged, he says here that Pastor Itua, who is also a chartered accountant, as all of you know, is a chartered accountant, also urged the president to change his economic management model. To change his economic management model.
Indeed. Now, we're going to take our last paper on the show today. This is very rare. We are getting to the very last paper that we have prepared.
Well, it gives us more time to take reactions.
Oh, yes, of course, of course. And we've actually taken quite a number of reactions, unusually. Mm-hmm. Naira crashes to 540. I saw 545. Oh. Naira crashes to 543 dollar. A pound hit 740 Naira.
You know, my eyes are always on this pound.
Yes, no.
Last week it was 720. So are we going in leaps and bounds of 20 Naira every week? Anyway, the information here simply is that, people call it the black market, but I'll say that's the real market. We all know what happens in the difference between the two markets, providing business for other people, privileged persons, and so on and so forth. So let's go down that route. Let's just see what we have here. As at yesterday, which might affect also this morning, the Naira crashed to 543 to the dollar. Okay, in black market, and it was bought for 540 and sold for 543, meaning that if you want half dollars to sell, you get 540, and if you want to buy dollars, you got 543. For my brothers, the British pound sterling sold for 740 on Thursday compared to 730 on Wednesday. Between Wednesday and Thursday, you have a 10 Naira gap. Wow. And they said that this development comes 44 days after the Central Bank of Nigeria stopped the sale of foreign exchange to all BDC operators across the country. I don't know which economic model we are running. I don't understand it anymore. But we are in for it. I don't know if you've been to the shops recently. What I used to buy in about 6 paper bags can hardly fit for the same amount, can hardly fit 1 paper bag.
You're spot on.
It is as bad as that.
You're spot on.
It's as bad as that.
You're spot on, really. It's a combination of so many things. The global business space is experiencing economists have called global inflation.
Yeah.
So different companies are prepared for it in their different ways. Obviously, we are not prepared for any global inflation.
At all.
So prices are not only increasing in Nigeria, they're increasing globally. It's just that in some other climes, there are things that their governments have put in place to cushion that effect.
No buffer for us.
You know, no buffer at all for us.
No buffer for us.
But we must go now.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming, sir.
Yeah, I'll be here. I'll be at 9.
Kilamashin weekend. Agbemijade.
I know. We want to talk to about that guy. Oh man, I should be doing.
Me, Lomu Koko, Lomu, Zomu.
Sorry, you bring about my cough now.
Sorry, sir.
Let me just.
We have to go now, Lagos. Bye bye.
They say, if you want to go far.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.